This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. By the way, you can take us with you on the Odyssey app, too, in case I didn't mention that. Sunday, October. You know, it's already the 20th of October.
Very much.
Doggone it. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning and happy 20th October to everybody in Redan.
Oh, in Redan.
Redan.
Yeah, out there in the cab.
How the folks, what's to do in Redan? I'm lost. I just landed here from Neptune. I got in the car. I said, folks sending me to Redan. Where do I go to first?
They got stuff going out there. They can play golf out there. They play tennis out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Man. They do. They do those things.
All right.
You know,
No restaurant to mention, no type of food to grab and read.
I'm sure that there's some, but
okay. That's a nugget that everybody looks for from you.
What, somewhere
from
to
you?
Eat?
Yeah, because you know I mentioned the city and you have traveled there.
I was at the concession stand at the high school game.
Okay, well, how's their concession stand?
I don't know about fine
dining.
They
got good concession stand.
I don't know about fine dining.
Right.
You know.
You know what I was looking at here? And again, not to start off the show with the insignificant information, but you ever heard of a dude named Dick Fosbury?
Yeah.
For the people who don't know out there.
Reinvented an event. You know, he's kind of like Edwin Moses. Reinvented an event.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
And now everybody does it his way.
Dick Fosbury is the person who they named the Fosbury Flop after.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on this date, American Dick Fosbury, using his unconventional technique, wins the men's high jump gold medal at the Mexico City Olympics.
Think about it. Those were the Summer Olympic Games, and this is October.
That's true. Well, let's see. What was going on?
That's when the Olympic Games were that year. I think, I don't know if it's because of the temperature or the climate there, but the Olympics that year fell later.
That's true. I mean, I didn't even think about it yet because it's usually August.
Yeah.
It's long since over. People who win gold medals are usually making their tours.
You're right.
right around now.
You know,
well, anyway, today the Fosbury Flop becomes accepted most efficient technique to do that. So congratulations to him, and it happened on this day. I was trying to, when you brought that little nugget up here, and I'm thinking.
What little nugget?
Well, about the Olympics taking place in, you know, October.
In October,
That's just crazy.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Speaking of the Olympics, and speaking of things other than the traditional sports that we have here, I have something that I'm going to present around 8:20 this morning.
Okay.
And it's just an overall view of something, and it has to do with one of our broadcast partners.
Okay.
Getting ready to kick off at 1 o'clock today. against Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I have something special I'm going to do there coming up later in the show. Anyway, how was your week, Mr. Crenshaw?
Well, you know, everything was leading up to last night. Everything this week, everything was pointing to last night, pointing to what took place out in Texas, man. And just, you know, I was wrong. I'll say that. And we're going to do a deeper dive into the game in the next segment. But I felt like no way Georgia was going to go into Texas and beat them there. Now, I figured it would be the first of two, maybe three meetings, you know, and I figured Texas would win there, SEC championship game here, Georgia would get them. That's what I was thinking. I was wrong.
Yeah, but you know what?
I was wrong.
Georgia has right now, and we will talk about this, but what they have done so far as they sit here at 6-1 has been the most impressive 6-1 because that one loss – they still came back and was fighting, you know what, right down the street. They weren't at home.
Right.
And they brought that game back. And this game, also on the road, the way they held them, despite the madness of Carson Beck.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That dude makes you want to walk into traffic.
But also the officiating.
That, too. Well, I was getting to that.
And you had two of your defensive players kicked out of the game. And you had water bottles flying from the stand.
We're going to talk about that. Save it. We're going to talk about that.
Something else happened last night, though. We have a, we have a team from Atlanta that did make the playoffs.
Oh.
And a team that has been kind of, you know, pulling at us all season long. What's the problem? You know, you got players coming and going. You got coach coming and going. You got interim coach, and it comes right down to the final game. And Noel, do you have something for Mr. Conte for us, please?
Wolf, square to Saba, the left wing, dribbles left corner of the 18, Domidor back to Saba, shot, score! In the seventh minute, listen all you all, it's a sabotage! And Atlanta United leads on decision day in Orlando!
There you go, Mike Conte. Yeah. 7 minutes in, usually, you know, we don't score that early. You know, but 7 minutes in, we got the first goal. We get the second goal. 2-1, Atlanta United wins, and they get the playoff spot. They're going to play Montreal Tuesday, which means we'll see Joseph Martinez again.
All right. Now, is that your story of the week?
No.
Okay. But that's a great story.
No, this just happened yesterday.
Again. Well, yeah, that was still part of the week. Yeah, if something you could take a story from
there's
yesterday.
There's a whole lot of stuff part of the week, man. What all you want a part of the week? You want?
Hang on. I don't want you stepping on it.
No. It's not my story.
No, it might be mine.
No, it's not yours either.
Okay, go ahead.
Fried bologna slider.
Yeah, I saw that.
I sent you a picture of that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was in West Virginia. They had that on the menu. I said, fried bologna slider. I said, I want to try
that. Did you?
Yes,
and?
I did. It was quite good. Yeah. Different from what my grandma. Grandma, you get that thick slice. That thick slice of bologna, but this is like thinly sliced bologna with a little sauce on the little bun with a little pickle, and that was
good for you, huh?
It was nice. It was all right.
I used to make fried bologna sandwiches, too. I think everybody made fried bologna sandwiches. I didn't like how it bubbled up in the middle, though.
No, this wasn't a bubble up. It was like a thinly sliced and whatnot, and, you know, West Virginia. Well, you know, that's my trip to West Virginia with Georgia State. Didn't win the game up at Marshall, but we are Marshall. They do say that up there, and they do have a big fountain to commemorate the plane crash with that.
In a related story. Yep. All I saw was frowns and bottom lips poked out of Matthew McConaughey yesterday during that game.
Yeah.
Speaking of Marshall, Marshall.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, he didn't look that good in his burnt orange coat. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Noel, do you have our Story of the Week sounder ready to go there and so we can knock this out of you need a moment there? I think she needs a moment. Our Story of the Week.
It's time for Sam and Greg's Story of the Week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's Story of the Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
All right. I know I went first last week. I don't mind doing it again. If you want to jump on something yourself there, you can.
I mean, there are a lot of things we can go. First of all, this week we found out that the big event is coming back to
town. All right, that's mine.
Okay, I'll tell you that. Right. Okay, well then.
Just pick one.
Opposite. No. Okay, no. But mine is reverberations of what's happening in college athletics this week. Just days before you plan your first basketball game, the Virginia basketball coach walks out the door.
Okay.
And that's Tony Bennett, the head coach of the University of Virginia, just said, you know what, I'm out. Just the way things have been done. Yet another coach, championship coach, and says, I'm tired of this game, what college athletics
has become. No, he's tired of the changes.
Just what college athletics has become. And he says, you know what? I don't have to do this anymore. You know, odd to do it right as your season is about to start. You feel like that's something that you take advantage of. You take, you know, inventory when your season ends, when you make that early exit from the tournament and you're disappointed and guys are cleaning out their lockers, whatever. But this is right before the season starts. That's the odd thing about this, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got everybody lined up. People are ready. Your players are ready to practice and whatnot and get started for a season. And that just speaks volumes about where we are right now with college athletics. So to me, the fact that Tony Bennett just walks out the door at Virginia just days away from the season starting speaks about where we are right now.
Okay. Now, that's a good one. Exit stage left. And did that. I got to save mine because we're up against it.
No, man.
Yeah, we're up. Well, you see the time, and I ain't getting yelled at today. We're going to bring this thing back. And actually, it's the beginning. It would be the beginning of something I'm going to talk about later on in the show. So I'll save it. It's not earth-shattering, but it was, you know, something that occurred to me. I'm sure others. And so that's going to be mine. And I will save it. Two things, though. One is, last week, did we say a little something for Mercury Morris? I couldn't remember. He passed.
I know he did.
Yeah. That one. And here's the worst part. I feel kind of bad because we get on them remaining Miami Dolphins when they click the glass every year.
Somebody finally loses a game.
Yeah, no, they become obnoxious.
Teams, right?
But
old men.
So how many of them dudes are left?
There's a few of them.
Well, I mean, Zonka.
Yeah.
He's still with us,
yeah.
Zonka?
Yeah, Zonka.
Okay.
Greasy. Yeah,
and well, Greasy wasn't one. It was like Jim Kick was doing it and Zonka. I think it was the running backs, but I could be wrong. Nick Bonacani isn't one of them. He's gone.
Right.
But anyway, I wanted to mention Mercury Morris. And also, I'm not happy to do this, Sam. Okay. I'm just not. But I everything was cool for a week or so, but I was coming in again. Come on, y'all. Georgia State.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Man, that eye is out again.
Maybe so. They got a short in that. That's what it is.
I'm saying. We get a wire.
Out the other, man.
I got a handyman for you. I know a dude. Get up there. But the eye is out again in unversity. We got to get that fixed. We want the skyline looking great. Baseball playoffs in full effect. Yankees are headed to the World Series. And also, we have a very, very, very special recap. Well, preview and review. We haven't done that in a while, Sam. We have a preview of Game 5 of the WNBA Finals. But we also had already planned to have a WNBA season recap. And it's not, you would think, with Noel. And Noel will be a part of that. But she will be joined by Selah Thomas.
Yeah.
14-year-old Selah Thomas will be joining Noel, and they will give us this recap. Joe Patrick's going to join us, and we're actually going to talk some F1 NASCAR coming up in this show. Just getting started on this Sunday morning, 20th of October. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Take us with you on the Odyssey app on this Sunday morning, the 20th of October. Had to have Noel play this. I was out listening to some blues on Friday night. Went over to Blind Willie's.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
All right now. Oh, I ain't been over there in a minute,
yeah,
man.
How
was it, good?
I got, yes, sir. And the band that was there, brothers had like had a horn section.
Oh, man.
And the horn section sat, the whole set.
Yeah,
because like the stage is real small at Blind Willie's.
Right, right.
So these dudes all looked like they finished working over at the GM plant, and then got together, practiced.
Yeah.
And then came out and did a show. They play on weekends.
Nice.
That's what I saw with these guys all together. They got, you know, good jobs during the week, doing some stuff, and then they get together
and
just play.
Do their thing,
these
man.
Guys were sitting there on the chairs, the horn section. It was, I mean, alto sax, regular sax, trumpet player. I think they had three sax players, to be honest with you. They didn't have a trombone player.
Okay.
But it was nice. So, yeah, shout out Blind Willie's. Had a big time there. And, like I said, listening to the blues. Let me get my story of the week over with.
Go ahead,
and then
we
get into this college stuff.
Okay,
here.
All right.
And my story of the week was this. 2028.
Okay.
Made the announcement. We're going to get the Super Bowl. Coming back to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that. 2028 is going to be a special year for two states and the film industry. This is what hit me when I heard this announcement. Could you imagine how Georgia is going to benefit? Again, by this time, all the strikes and everything will have been taken care of. We're talking 4 years down the road. And hopefully it will be back to flourishing, meaning the film industry here in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else happens in 2028? The Summer Olympics are in Los Angeles. How did that torch get passed from Paris to Los Angeles, right? With Tom Cruise, right? So you know the film industry, it's going to be a big year, 2028. And you know what? I'm letting the Falcons know I'm here for you. I got to tell you a story about this last week. I've been trying to help the Falcons out, and I don't think they realized how fast I work and how fast I deliver. But nothing overstepping the bounds. I just lined some things up for an event they have coming up, and I will tell you about that. But
okay.
I want to just, that was my story of the week. When I thought about how the film industry, and by extension, jobs in this state, will benefit.
Oh, yeah.
in 2028.
Absolutely.
So I just want to say, and again, this is 2024, and every county in the state of Georgia is camera ready. I do not see, do you see the film industry leaving this state?
No.
Or growing?
Can't.
It can't grow. And I don't care if there's a tax break coming from Charlotte or New Orleans or Orlando, one of the surrounding cities, Nashville.
We're already here.
We here, and they don't have the land mass and the amounts of different types of land that Georgia has.
Yep.
So I ain't worried about it. So anyway, like I said, the money that will be available to the citizens of this state in 2028 because of what's coming here is my story of the week. Yeah. And Los Angeles is going to benefit, too. So there you go. All right. Thank you again for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. What sound would you like to request from the
First, the final score was 30-15.
Yeah.
Georgia won.
They doubled it.
At Texas. And you know what? The start of the second half, I'm saying, okay, here comes Texas. You figured they were going to come back and get it. And they did. They fought their way back into it. The Georgia running game, man. The defense and the running game was the thing that made the difference last night. And we talk about Carson Beck and having some problems and throwing the ball to the wrong folk. But one thing that was the running game was on, and that's what made it good in the end. You know, the defense was able to come up with stops, and the running game was able to run the clock, man. And it's classic, old-school, textbook Georgia football.
But it wasn't clean on either side. That's what made it maddening. There were mistakes made in this game. I can't speak for Texas, but that Georgia wouldn't have made last year. And I realize this is the nature of college football. Things change.
Well,
you don't
also
have the same
now,
personnel.
You know what? And the one thing that Coach Smart said after was he was throwing to some different guys last year.
Oh, no. Again, I understand the personnel
guys he was
is
throwing
different.
To them dudes on the National Football League now.
It was you know? Just the way things were orchestrated. And Carson Beck, like I said, I have to take a step back because you got the check in the W column, but the dude is maddening. He's just maddening. And he'll make a play. I don't want to compare him to somebody else. He's just if I were an alum of Georgia or had really vested interest in it, TV would have been busted in my house a couple times. But I'm just a frustrated.
I was following along with a number of people I know who are alums who were frustrated with him.
Yeah,
and then with the officiating crew.
Well, that's easy. Everybody saw that.
Yeah,
that
but that's just,
incompetence.
Yeah, that was total. I don't know what to do with that crew.
All right, Kirby addressed that, but yeah. Again, I don't know when Noelle what sound she has ready to go first. By the way, if you would like to come on and say good morning, everybody, we're all waiting for that because we missed you last week. She was gone. We had Eric. He don't sound as sweet as her.
No, he does.
Not even close.
That pleasant voice that we get.
Here we go.
Here we go. Wait for it.
She's a recipient of presents, too.
All right, good morning.
There you go.
Hey.
That's not Eric. That's Noelle. She's back.
How you doing?
Not too bad. How we doing this morning, fellas?
I
ain't getting no present.
You know,
some folks got some presents. I ain't getting no presents.
We get into that later.
We'll get into a little homecoming.
What you got from Coach Kirby?
We have Kirby immediately after the game on the sideline.
All right.
You know, these players get the best out of me, and I'm so proud of these guys because nobody believed. Nobody gave us a chance. Your whole network doubted us. Nobody believed us. And then they tried to rob us with calls in this place. And these guys are so resilient. You know what I mean? We talked about intent. What was our intent when we walked on the field? Our intent was not to take pictures, not to do all the superstar stuff. Our intent,
hell yeah,
our intent was to eat. Our intent was to come eat and be hungry. I'm not interested in all the bells and whistles. What I want is a team that fights their ass off, and they did tonight.
Fantastic, Coach Kirby. Yeah, man.
Left you know, ESPN needing a corner, man.
Cut me, Mick.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Surgical. That was a true disciple of Mr. Saban.
Yeah.
The way he surgically got at them folks.
Absolutely.
That was beautiful.
But I mean,
For me, it's true SEC because the first thing I saw on Twitter yesterday, once it was all said and done, was Kirby about to go full. They didn't believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, you get the exact soundbite.
Yeah.
We all know the formula.
And he had to because he got knocked off his perch in the minds of a lot of people after that Alabama loss. So as I was telling Sam here earlier, I think that what he has done as he sits here at 6-1 right now is, if not the most impressive, in the top two as far as what you've done with your team this year and doing it in the spotlights that he's done it on. That Alabama game was a bright spotlight for that. Nation was watching. Last night was even brighter.
But the thing about it is, you think about this season and this schedule compared to last year's schedule. Remember, everybody sneered at the schedule last year. They were winning games.
All right.
Everybody sneered about the schedule. Yeah, but you're not playing this team, but you're not playing that team. This year, they got them guys on the schedule, man. And, you know, like, right. The one at Alabama, they had a bad first half.
And came back
in that one. And then they go into Texas and wins this game. It's got to be remarkable. But it has to be remarkable for the people who followed them out there, the people who traveled to go out to that, you know, from Georgia to get there. The tickets had to be crazy to try to get just to get into the place.
And you know them folks, Texas are one step behind New Yorkers when they like to boast about their part of the country and what they do and how we do things.
Everything's bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then saw that big old Bevo.
Yeah.
And his horn's all nice and shiny. Keep the bulldog away. Yeah, that's a good thing they kept Ugga here. But what else about that win to you was impressive in that Georgia showed, they got a two-headed monster down there, but, you know, we handled them. They did for Texas what you said some teams saw in Georgia, how Alabama exposed them in a way in that first half. Now, Georgia turned it around, but again,
They turned up the heat. That defense played at times like the defenses we've seen in the recent past at Georgia. They just dialed up some things, and they looked like that. The pass rush, I mean, Ewers, they kept him on his heels. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's reeling back, just throwing the ball to get rid of it. That kind of pass rush. You figure Texas has a great line, and they were broken down a number of times for pass rushing. I thought that was huge for Georgia to do that. And Ewers goes out of the game. Arch Manning did come in for a short period of time. You see
golfing
that
on?
We just came in. He just came in.
He had a nice run.
You see the run?
Yeah.
That's what I told you. That's what
that's
his granddaddy used to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we saw a little taste of it. That's that's what's to come. I mean, that's next year as far as Texas goes. But that's the different element that he brings to the game when he's in. You wondered if you were going to get more of that. And Herb Street was talking, you know, last night. He thought that Manning may start the second half, but he went back with Ewers.
Yeah,
and Manning never came back in the game. So, to me, that was the difference. He went with the guy who was, you know, who's the leader, established guy. And he brought him back. He brought him back. He had a chance to get in the game. Give Georgia credit for their defense, even with two guys getting ejected
That's
from the game, right?
Yeah.
And the defense kept doing its thing.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And as we look forward with this Georgia team and knowing that they have been tested in a way, I mean, this is the kind of win and loss that does coaching by itself for Kirby. In other words, these players now there's nothing that they can go through moving forward that's going to make them look like a deer in the headlights.
Yep.
Nothing.
That's the thing. I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule. Obviously, the Florida game is coming up, and that's a big emotional game. And Florida got a win yesterday.
And here's the other thing: those two guys you just mentioned got to sit out the first half of that game.
Yeah, so that's something else they have to think about as they go. Yeah, they still got some. They still got some folk out there. Ole Miss is out there. Tennessee is out there for them. So and Tennessee got the win over Alabama yesterday. So they're figuring out y'all want to forget about us. Y'all want to forget about us. Here we are. And is Alabama on the outside looking in already?
Yeah, they maybe.
Well,
say it out loud. This is a new day. Number one team in the country, your Oregon Ducks. Say it out loud.
Yep. You know that's the thing. But what a weekend, and this college game continues to evolve. And be this thing with the playing field, you see the evenness of the playing field. Some people like it, some people don't like it. They're used to having certain teams beating everybody by 40 every week.
Them days are gone.
You know what I mean?
Them days are gone.
Indiana undefeated and runs Nebraska off the field of doing. That's a thing to win, but to win the way they did. And Michigan, of course, lost to Red Grange yesterday. Red Grange back from the grave.
Jesse had to go out to the balcony. Had to go out and sit in the back for a little while. Things were being flung in my house.
It's amazing. And then you got Army and Navy still undefeated.
That's right.
It's just the college football season.
Oh, no, and I was going to say
crazy.
Something. You just had me, and it just slipped my mind. What was it? I can't remember. But here's the thing. As we sit here and talk about all this changing landscape I know what I was going to say, and the things that you were bringing up that are just head-scratching in this college football season, on top of which the guy who is in the top one or two for the Heisman Trophy sat out the whole second half, and he's still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, who sits the guy, and he's still there. He didn't lose any ground.
Yeah. Well, we know they won the game. We're talking about Colorado. And if they can fly below the radar, is that possible for them to fly below the radar? I mean, they're not championship contenders, but they are winning games. And, mm-hmm. you know, they were going to play postseason. That's going to be the big question. They get to the bowl game, are them guys going to show up for the bowl game?
Well, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
If it's not a playoff, the tradition is you're on your way to the NFL, you don't play that game. That's something we're going to wait to see, too.
Well, we got baseball going on. The playoffs are happening. We're going to talk about that up next. Remember, top of the hour, Mr. Crenshaw is going to let you know what's going on locally. And a WNBA Game 5 preview and a WNBA season review by a couple ladies that we have here that love talking basketball. And I'm waiting for that segment. That's going to be at 7:20. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. One of them songs everybody knows. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That was recorded on this date, Mr. Crenshaw. Mr. Belafonte sat down and put this on vinyl for us all to enjoy.
Yeah, man.
And it's one of them songs that made it to space, too. They took this song, Robert Johnson, a bunch of songs they sent into space. So, there you go. Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9.
Did they bring that back in the new Beetlejuice? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Did they bring that back in the new Beetlejuice?
I haven't seen the new Beetlejuice yet. Actually,
they probably did.
I'm kind of waiting to find out what reviews are for that.
Okay.
But if you're gonna pre-sell a movie, November 15th is the only one you need to worry about. No, if you haven't seen the previews yet, if you haven't seen the trailer yet, Red One is all over the place. And I'm still on the IMDb page, so I ain't getting bumped from that one.
How about?
And I found out from Mr. Bobby Farrelly of the Farrelly Brothers that Dear Santa will be on the Paramount Plus streaming platform. So both them Christmas movies that I was waiting for last year will now make it. One will be in theaters first, but the other one will be coming out streaming first. So there you go. So go check out, and if you haven't seen the trailer for Red One yet, that's The Rock, that's Chris Evans, Lucy Liu, J.K. Simmons, and me.
And you.
That's a lie I'm telling. And then Dear Santa is a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Jack Black and me.
Notice how you do that.
It's all right, nice. Dad. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.
I found out the reason why the letter might be flickering over Georgia State.
You did? Did somebody reach out to you about that?
No. Oh,
okay.
I'm thinking about what happened last night.
All right, what happened last night?
With the Yankees, you know, beating the Guardians.
Okay.
Okay, and you know Juan Soto was the guy that delivered the blow.
Yes,
that,
yeah.
That, let's see, the pitcher that was on the mound is a Georgia State alum. Hunter Gaddis, who was pitching for Cleveland. And everyone's very proud because he was part of a decision and the Guardians winning the game to get into the ALCS. The first time they'd had a Georgia State product do that in the Major League Baseball level. And so he was the one on the mound. And does this at-bat that everyone's saying was a work of art. Everyone's talking about, you know, Soto's at-bat, how he fouled off the pitch till he got the pitch he really, really wanted and whatnot. And so Hunter Gaddis was from Georgia State was pitching, which everyone there is proud. But
they're so proud they took the eye out.
That might have been the reason why I just kind of
stayed
out a little bit. Maybe,
man,
you know,
we're so proud of this man making it. He got caught in an uncomfortable situation, but he was on a big stage and he was representing Georgia State. Let's take the eye out of university. Okay.
5-2 Yankees win, so they're in.
How you feel about that?
I'm all right with that.
I ain't got a problem with it either. A lot of people, I never really hate the Yankees.
And it's been a while.
And 09.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. They're going to come back around again at some point. The Yankees ain't going to stay out of the World Series forever. So, I mean, yeah, they've been out for a minute, and now they're back in. It's good. It's that other team from cross town I don't want to see in.
You don't want to see You don't see the Mets in there?
I don't want no Subway Series. We're not going to the Polo Grounds. We're not riding trolley cars.
I would rather see a healthy Mets team than a dinged up Dodgers team. I want Freddie at 100%. He's not going to be 100%, which means the Yankees will be beating the
team. People want to see Judge and Ohtani. People want to see these two larger than life.
Well, absolutely.
Figures, right on the big stage.
But I still don't want to see.
That's what I want to see.
Okay, I still don't want to see a Dodgers team that's limping into the World Series though, because that gives Yankees that much more of a chance to win. I want to see everybody at full strength. Now, if that happens to be a Subway Series, cool. Yeah, Ohtani and Judge would be great to see.
Yeah. I think, that's the thing. It's the East Coast, West Coast, you know, everybody across the country. I think the country wouldn't care about the Mets Yankees series.
No, they wouldn't care about it like New Yorkers would.
Yeah. They were the only ones that cared about it last time.
The Subway
Series. It's the only one that cared about it. No, nobody south of Jersey cared about that World Series with the Yankees and the Mets.
Now, hang on. That's not right.
It is true.
The television ratings bore it out. I cared about. I'm sitting here in front of you telling you that I cared about it.
Television ratings.
Especially.
Nobody.
I guarantee, you know what?
Don't want to see it.
You know what? You're wrong.
Do not.
And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as Roger Clemens threw that bat at Mike Piazza,
hang on a second.
You're talking about ratings. The ratings went through the roof after he did that.
Only thing anybody remembers about that series.
Okay, well, then people watched
somebody
it for
throwing
that.
A bat.
Yeah. Roger Clemens threw that bat at Piazza.
The weepy-eyed slap Maxwells up the East Coast wanted to see pined for so many years.
Yeah.
They got it, and all you can remember is somebody throwing a bat.
That's right. That's right. And that's okay. You remember.
Don't want to see that again.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Tell me what you remember from last year's World Series.
That it was a team that we didn't expect to see.
No, tell me something that happened. That was something, some event from that, from, I can't remember if it went seven
games
or four
games. You can't remember either, but it wasn't as much hallabalooed Subway Series.
Of course not. It's New York. You know that.
Right.
So it's going to be there, but I had no problem with it.
Don't want to see that.
Well, we know that now. Hey, you know who I saw yesterday in coverage? I hadn't seen in a minute. Was Dusty.
Yeah.
When they went back, I didn't know he was part of the pregame or postgame or whatever.
I think he's getting ready to put pen to paper. For a book.
Oh, book. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Not contract. Like he going back coaching.
No. He's doing some studio stuff, and I think he's great for that. But I think he's getting ready to put.
If he's smart, which he is, I wouldn't write a book about his life in baseball. I would write about 1 year of his baseball career, and that would be 1973, being with Hank, and that journey. Traveling with him, and then being on the in the on-deck circle, walking us right up to it. That's what I would do.
I want to go deeper than that.
Well, okay, you're a journalist, and I understand that.
No, me personally, just knowing the story, I want to hear a story about him coming to Atlanta and how he didn't want to come here.
Well, I remember you've talked about that.
You know
Hank
what I mean?
Making him a man.
And well, not just that, how they flew he and his mom in. He didn't want to come here. He had seen Lester Maddox, he had seen George Wallace, and he wanted no part of the
Perception.
South.
Perception.
He wanted no part of the South. But they flew him in, and Andy Young, and, you know, Joseph Lowry, and, you know, Hosea Williams, and some people, Benjamin Mays, they got him together and said, this is Atlanta. This is a different place. You're going to be okay here. And that was to me, if he's going to write a book and tell a story, that's the part that I want to get. He loves this city, and because of what he found here.
You know what I think? I think you got two books. No, I absolutely do. You know, because that 1 year is seminal in that I don't care who you are, you know what Hank Aaron did, you know around the time he did it. So if he chronicles, and I'll tell you what's even better, he could chronicle the end of the 73 season and then that off season where he had tied the record, and then the next season he broke the record, he had to sit there all summer, and that's when that whole Bowie Kuhn came out.
You will play.
Yeah, that whole thing, and I'm not following him. I don't know when he's – I mean, there's a lot of stories there that could fill up a book. Moreover, the conversation – we would like to know about some of the other players. What was Ralph Garvey? Who – I'm trying to think who else was on that team of note that would have stories just bringing us
– Ralph Garvey obviously helps have stories from that team.
Yeah. I just think that there's two books with Dusty, and you might want to consider that because he could probably do two. Well, you think he could do two books? Given what you just said in his life, and moreover,
he's native of California.
That's what I'm saying. Spending time in California.
So coming to this part of the country in the 60s scared him.
What would have been? You're talking about his mother putting him on a plane to come here.
Well, she came with him.
She put him on a plane to come. No, you're going to go there and you're going to talk to these people sort of thing. And that's the same thing that happened to Jordan. He didn't want to go to Oregon and sit with them folks at Nike.
Yeah.
And his mother is the one, and you know, it's been well chronicled, told him, no, you're going to get on that plane and listen to
these
folks.
That's what sealed the deal.
And she went out there with him along with his father. And, yeah, again, you just never know. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up, going to get a recap the WNBA season and a preview of Game 5 tonight. Season's going to end one way or the other today. And Noel and Selah Thomas are going to handle that. They're going to break it all down for us. You and I can go get a cup of coffee.
No, man, I want to get in on
this. Well, I mean, just get back and listen.
It's been great to see how, you know, this series has gone. The place has been packed every night that they played. So, you know, that has been fantastic. And I think people are watching. Yeah, you know, people can talk with still talking about Caitlin Clark or whatever. She's out of the picture right now. But the impact of the season we're seeing bear out into these finals, you know, is still on the radar, where in years past it probably wouldn't be so much as it is now. So
right.
People are watching these teams and, you know, ready to go out and buy some shoes from some folks that are playing out there. Really,
well, we
man.
Know where to send you if you're going to get some shoes. We know who to send you to find out where to get them. Hey, let's have some fun here before we get on out of here.
Okay,
we're just
okay.
talking baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, these are all-time – this is the all-time strikeout leader for these particular teams. Got the list here in front of you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
So we'll start with the Braves. I figure you would know who that is. Who is the all-time franchise strikeout leader for the Atlanta Braves?
Smoltz?
Yes.
Smoltz, yeah.
3,011.
Okay.
All right, let's go to – pick. Give me another team.
Oh, no.
Okay, Red Sox.
Although
I think there should be an asterisk next to this one, which should give you the answer.
You're the O.
Clemens.
Okay.
Yeah, 2,590. Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles all-time strikeout leader.
Palmer.
There you go, Jim
yep.
Palmer.
Yep.
How about the Arizona Diamondbacks? Trying to keep this in order here.
Yeah, really.
You know him.
Johnson?
Nah. No, you're right. It is Randy Johnson.
Yeah, okay.
Randy
okay.
Johnson.
Okay.
All right. Now, here's the – I was really surprised.
Okay.
Because they hadn't been passed yet. Cleveland Indians or Guardians.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Go back, I forget who's pitched up there.
Bob Feller.
Wow, I was going to go back to Gaylord.
I saw your line, and there is one there's one person on this list who's there twice. Who's there twice?
For two different teams.
Two different teams. We'll get to that in a minute.
Wow.
Detroit Tigers, all time strikeout leader, and it ain't who you think it is. Like, he ain't playing still.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you could one of them two because I would have went to one of them
guys.
Two.
No. Oh heck, man! I don't know who would be.
He would get street cred from Snoop. Mickey Lolich.
Oh man, really?
Yeah, Mickey Lolich.
Lolich is one McLean's name kept coming.
Oh, that was the one. Yeah, Danny McLean is the one who went down. Okay, Lolich wouldn't get any street cred. Kansas City Royals, Kevin Apier.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
No.
New York Mets. We were just talking about them.
Seaver.
There you go, Tom Seaver.
Yeah.
Now, here's the one that I thought would be a little tough to get. The New York Yankees. Who's the all-time strikeout leader for the New York Yankees?
Ford?
Andy Pettit.
Really?
2020.
Okay.
The Cardinals is Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Dave Steeb, Toronto. But the one who's on there twice, Nolan Ryan. He's
for
the all-time
Angels,
strikeout
Angels
leader.
And Astros.
That's right.
Man.
The Angels and the he got 1,866 for the Astros. He got 2,416 for the Angels.
Unbelievable.
All in there twice. And that dude who's the number one for the Dodgers, you think you go back to Sandy or one of the, you know, all those. Nah, he's still in the dugout. Clayton Kershaw.
Kershaw, really?
Kershaw is the leader, 2,955. Got a few more on here. We'll get them throughout
the
show.
All right.
Coming up, 7 o'clock hour, he's going to let you know what's coming up locally. It is Sam and Greg. We are on the 20th day of October. We're on it. We're in it, I should say, on Sunday morning. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.